Hi, everybody. This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicle Stories of the Supernatural. And today I have one of my prior guests, as a matter of fact, my first guest, which is Mr. Charles Del Campo, who's a cult investigator, nationally recognized. And I was lucky to get him because he's been traveling around the country working on different cases and behind the scenes on some shows. So finally, I was able to pin him down. And I asked him to come back on the show because I had a lot of requests to speak specifically about Freemasons and all those conspiracies going around about the Freemasons. And you know what? Charles is not only a Freemason, but has been involved with them for many, many years. So let me get him on so he can tell you about all his experience and knowledge being a Freemason. So, Charlie, how are you doing today?
Very good. Good morning. And thank you for bringing me back into your show. I heard that the last one was definitely very interesting. A lot of followers.
It's doing very well. It's a lot of people love it, even though we talked about so many things. But anyway, Charles, before we get into this, because I know about your background, but if you could tell the viewers about your experience, what as far as Freemasons concerned, how you got involved with it, etc.
I'm the author of Secret Societies Exposed,
right?
Which I am the first Hispanic ever as an author to be on CNN International, and my first book was actually compared to the Da Vinci Code, difference being that his was more fictional. Mine actually did the exploration for over a year throughout all of Europe and Asia, the Himalayas and Tibet. I belong to all these secret societies for over 25 years, including the Rosicrucians, the Knight Templars, the Freemasons, and follow some other doctrines of Tibetan and Buddhism origin, like Agni Yoga, Sufism, the Kabbalah, books like the Bhagavad Gita, and so forth.
Okay.
But today, for the first time, I have to tell the audience, there's not one single video in YouTube or anywhere else out there like the video and the evidence that we're about to corroborate what Freemasonry is actually today, what it has become. Not the fraternal organization that used to be.
Okay.
Humanitarian causes, but what it is today, and it is extremely mind-blowing. And that we will be able to expose this, in which the audience will be able to actually verify everything with corroborating evidence, archives, and things that they can just go to the public library or reach in the internet and make comparisons and their own judgments.
Okay, because it sounds almost like there's a lot of information or misinformation out there versus what the actual truth is from somebody like you who, for lack of a better word, is like an insider.
True, correct. There's no one out there that has ever revealed. There are a couple of people that said that they have, but they have not provided the evidence, which is really something unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a Freemason for over 33 years, belonging to the Scottish Rite, 32nd degree, the York Rite,
okay.
Also Templar. And I came from the Rosicrucian Order from Amorque, from San Jose, and was brought into Freemasonry because of the rituals. Later on, I started hearing a lot of defamation against the Freemasons or what they are nowadays. And mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I was like completely ignoring them. No, it's just conspiracy theories. There's no foundation to that.
Right.
And no one was ever able to provide a foundation. Now, I'm a private detective also by profession.
Yes.
CharlesDelCampo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, something? I'm going to investigate this matter. And as I did, what I found out was completely horrific, completely unbelievable.
Really? Have my undivided attention because, and let me answer something real quick. When you said you were a Rosicrucian and that basically was your gateway into Freemasons, are they at all alike or are we talking two totally separate things, two different
completely
things?
Completely different. One is metaphysical, truly fraternal, mm-hmm. Mork, and the other one claims to be fraternal and humanitarian.
Right.
And it's completely anything but. I want to emphasize the following before we start.
Okay.
In the Bible, I'm going by Ephesians 5:11, which states the following. Do not partake of the unfruitfulness of darkness, but instead expose them. And that is the basis of my Christian beliefs of why I'm doing this today.
Okay.
For those that are interested in trying to find out about the secrets of all these secret societies and what they're all about, I expose all of that in Secret Societies Exposed, which can be found in Amazon.com.
Okay.
And eBay, also in PublicacionesRebeldes.com.
Which I'm going to put a link to both of those on the credits of the show. So if anybody wants to go directly, they can just look at the credits of the show and they'll have a hyperlink to go there.
Yeah. Not that I'm trying to promote the book, but then we're going to have a lot of
nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and there's pictures in every page to corroborate everything that I am saying.
Okay.
As I took a year off and went in this exploration to try to authenticate and verify the nature of secret societies nowadays. You know, I've been a member of Freemasonry and recognized for over 33 years.
See, okay. Yes. Spot
for JMP Lodge number 371.
Okay.
Now, this lodge, coincidentally, was closed down by the Supreme Grand Lodge in Jacksonville because they got involved in a lot of criminal and unscrupulous behaviors.
Really?
Where they actually have people with criminal records that have served time in jail.
Oh. Believe it or not. Now, okay. Let me ask you something real quick because I didn't know it myself, and I'm sure there's people out there that don't. Do the Freemasons vet new members based on if they have any type of criminal past? It sounds like, right?
Yeah. Actually, if you have a criminal record, you cannot be a Mason. You have to have a clearance. But nowadays it's different. Now, the foundation of the Freemasons
in
the 1800s, it really started in France in 1815, and then it moved into England. From England, when the colonies were established, these people were not Americans. They were English people.
Right.
And the founders of our Constitution were British people, you know, and a large percent of them, above 33%, were Freemasons. The Constitution of the United States, the foundation comes from morals and dogmas of the ethics and principles of humanity and a democracy and the infrastructure of well-being between our fraternal brothers, one another.
Okay.
That has decayed, unfortunately, nowadays.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Later on, we have this individual that is named Albert Pike.
Exactly.
Who establishes the code of conduct and everything from Freemasonry. And this is his book, Morals and Dogma, which is no longer available.
Really?
In Blue Lodges, in the temples. So sometimes you do find them on the internet. Now, something very interesting in here, which before I get into this, I want to first go into what the temple of every Masonic lodge has, which is the blue book and the red book. And this is the Masonic code that we all have to adhere by.
Okay.
And this is the Florida Masonic Monitor.
You know. Okay.
So, in here, they're talking about justice, morals, truthfulness, transparency, everything that a true Mason should be like.
Yeah, wonderful ideals, but I know there's a butt in there somewhere.
It gets even better. So one day I heard all these global conspiracies and I started doing an investigation trying to verify the facts. You know, and for a lot of people, you know, if we look at the dollar and we turn it around and we see that that is a Masonic pyramid.
Yes.
Under the Masonic pyramid, we can appreciate in Latin, Novus Ordo Seclorium, which means New World Order. And that's what it's all about nowadays, the New World Order, where the conglomerate monopolies is trying to completely eradicate the small entrepreneur, total control of society.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you real quick, because, you know, you're making reference here to a symbolism that belongs to the Freemasons, but we're going into New World Order. Was this part of original Freemason thought, or has it been hijacked by the New World Order? Or was it?
Well, the initial plan was that it was never laid into foundation, and they knew that it was a long stretch of at least a century before it can begin to manifest. Let me put it to you this way: in the number one Masonic book of morals and dogma, quote morals. If we look in here, in page 321.
Right.
Okay. It reads the following, which has been highlighted, but I'll read it for the audience. Lucifer, the light bearer. Gets even better.
Wow.
Lucifer, the son of the morning, instead of being the son of Christ. It is the who bears the light. I'll repeat it. Lucifer, the light bearer. Lucifer, the son of the morning. It is he who bears the light.
Okay, and what book is that again? I'm sorry.
This is Morals and Dogmas, okay, by Albert Pike. This
okay.
is for the high degrees. Now, these are the people of the high degrees which are involved, okay, worshipful masters, 32nd okay. degree and 33, in the New World Order.
Okay,
but it gets even better.
Okay, so you're telling me the only ones, though, that have access to that book are when you're up the ladder in Freemasonry, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then you're telling me that basically these higher-ups, which of course are the ones that have all the secrets and write the rules, are, in other words, if you're in the gate through Freemason, you don't really have any idea about this. It's only when you go up the food chain.
Well, a lot of people in what is called the Blue Lodge, what a lot of members are Master Masons.
Okay.
Just because you're a Master Mason doesn't necessarily mean that you're high degrees in the Scottish Rite Templars.
Okay, and so there's a class system in a way is what you're telling me, besides the degrees.
Yeah. You have to meet certain standards. Usually they're looking for people that are financially secured
okay.
and that have power in order to influence legislative decisions or favoritism in the banking industry and so forth.
So if you're not a mover and a shaker, what are you telling me you're going
to... Yeah. Nowadays, and I'll relate that story later.
Okay.
And we're trying to accelerate this process of information so that the audience can digest it little
right,
by little.
Right, right. Okay, okay.
Eliphaz Levi, who was one of the most notorious writers and authors of
right.
magic and rituals,
yes.
Was able to put together the Masonic Baphomet, okay, representing the Luciferian god of the Freemasons. Now,
right,
this is not found...
Which is what they're referring to in that book, right? That son of the morning, or that they're talking about Lucifer, aka Satan.
Lucifer. In Masonic traditions, we have symbology, okay, which is not revealed to what we call the profanes, the people that have not been initiated. And you only are told the meaning of those initiatic symbols once you go through Freemasonry. It's given to you in stages. In order to become a Master Mason.
Okay.
And when you're in the higher degrees, then you are in charge of certain missions in order to undertake whatever their interest at that time. But the figurine which represents the Luciferian Masonic is this one right here.
Right, which that's I've seen that before, the Baphomet.
And that's Baphomet. That is the Lucifer, and you can see the Masonic symbol.
Exactly, right.
So a lot of Masons that go to Blue Lodges that are Mason are completely aware that they're serving the devil.
Now,
I thought about the same thing. I said, that's completely ridiculous. But then once you start researching and reading the books, you know, it tells you, in their code of ethics. I mean, I live in Lake Placid and I try to become a member and associate here to the Lake Placid Masonic Lodge. And they turn down.
Really?
And people were telling me, no, that's like the KKK Lodge. Now, this individual who's the worshipful master in there started defamating me everywhere for no reason.
Let me ask you something, but I would think, Charlie, that a Mason with like you, they would want you with all your years and you're so high. Why wouldn't they want you there?
Racism,
really?
Hatred, envy, jealousy. And he will tell me, well, you have a BMW, which would charge you more. Well, you have a lot of money, you should make more money. And I was like completely amazed at this guy's innuendos constantly. And then he tried to sandbag me, and I never broke any laws. And I said, well, you know something? I retrieved my petition. I withdraw my petition from your lodge in Lake Placid, because he's all Americans, not one single Hispanic.
Okay.
And not one single African American. And I went to Miami, to the Miami Spring Lodge, which I cannot mention the name.
Okay.
Now, they hold over $1 million in their budget.
Okay.
And they only have a few members. Go figure, right? Now, they turned me down also. So I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? You're supposed to ask me first, why are you turning down my application? It turns out to be that the guy from Lake Placid contacted the guy in Miami. And then everybody started gossiping and gossiping and gossiping and gossiping all over, defamating my character.
So let me ask you, and I'm going to ask you this because it almost seems like, are we talking here a personal problem, or are we talking some type of conspiracy because you've spoken out
all
against
the Masons
before?
Together, all the Masons. And it was American Masonry, the secretary at this lodge in Miami Springs, that also, and then they started a full campaign throughout all half of the state of Florida to defamate me, and they started finding out that I do expose of governmental corruption.
Right, well, that's what I'm going with this.
Videos on that, you know, and then they figure out that then I started investigating Masonry, and I even contacted one of the Masons at the Masonic Lodge in Miami, and I said, I'm going to do an expose that you guys are worshiping the devil and you don't even know it. Now, the beauty of this.
But you know what, Charlie? Let me ask you something. How long ago did you put out that book? Because it sounds to me like maybe you've been up on the radar long before now. Because
yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Because in the book, you know, in every page, you're able to see the pictures. And here I reveal the rituals, the passwords, and everything.
Right, yeah.
And that's the photo when I was on CNN.
Let me ask you something. How long ago now is it that you wrote the book? What, 6 years ago? Something? How
yeah, long? just about. But apparently this guy did a due diligence. You know, I was just revealing, you know, Masonry used to be a good nation. Now, I contacted in the process of this very unusual hatred and passionate crusade that these individuals had. And all Americans, by the way, all Anglos, not one single Hispanic doing this, right?
Okay.
And I contacted we are mandated by the regional office in Jacksonville, the southern jurisdiction of the Grand Lodge.
Okay.
In Grand Lodge. So I spoke with the secretary there, you know, he's below the worshipful master. And he says, oh, I remember you. You're a great guy. You used to be an ex-cop, then you worked for the government, and you have great credentials. Don't let a couple of guys just ruin you abandoning the Masonic lifestyle. Okay. And I said, well, hold on a minute. I see a lot of people with a lot of hatred, with no foundation, not bringing this up for me to get blackballed. I didn't even get blackballed. What type of fraternal order is this that I'm donating thousands of dollars a year
right
for community service for the most less unfortunate out there, whether people that are homeless or they need food and so forth.
Right.
And said, and now I am being attacked by these people and with defamation when my credentials are established out there in television and radio. I have with my agency, I have impeccable credentials.
Yeah, but I think that might be part of the problem, Charlie. I hate to say this.
So anyway, he says to me, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Just give me a couple of days.
Okay.
A week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by,
ooh,
4 weeks go by, 2 months go by, never heard from them. So then
really?
I go to another Mason who's been a fraternal brother with me for many years. And I said to him, son of the widow, when you mention and you say the word son of the widow, they're supposed to come to your rescue and help you.
Right.
You know, with due cause in case that you've been exposed to any injustice. Guess what? Not one single Freemason of all the Masonic Masons that I know came to my rescue in order to ask me any question or to rectify the gossip, just plain gossip that okay. this guy started and the defamation.
Okay, but you know what, Charlie? Now that you put it that way, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It sounds like what you thought at the beginning was a personal thing, okay? It sounds like you said, people that really don't know you, that shouldn't have any reason to have anything against you on a personal basis, are turning their backs on you, which points to something that's not personal. It sounds
glad that you mentioned that. As a result of that, I started questioning myself, and I go, wait a minute. I mean, this is just not one personal vendetta, because how can one corrupted guy, hillbilly, real racist, you know, be able to influence the mind of other people?
Right.
So there's something sinister going on in here. When I started investigating Masonry in the state of Florida by itself, all these people are practicing black magic, and they're adoring Lucifer, the fallen angel. And then when I start doing more research, That's when I found in this book what I just quoted, Lucifer, the bearer of light. These people are going against the Bible principles and scriptures of God. These people are in violation. And anyone who contributes a single dollar to Freemasonry is contributing to the forces of darkness. And if I had not experienced that racism and that hatred and that crusade of diabolical defamation by these people, in which no one ever called me to question me, you know, there was no due process.
You know what? Again, Charlie, it sounds to me like this is not really a personal thing, as in personal. You understand? Maybe they masqueraded it at the beginning that way so that you would be thrown off, like. But if you're telling me you're going from one lodge to the other, and I'm sure it wouldn't be the first time that somebody goes to a lodge and there's people bump head. Everybody's human. But when you're telling me that you're going to all these different sources within Freemason and they're kind of all doing the same thing to you, that kind of tells me that this is not a personal / bigotry / whatever. This is a bigger, here I'm going to use the C word, conspiracy.
True.
Against you, which means that whoever you would be, you understand what I'm saying? If you were exposing them before, they're gunning for you is what it sounds like. And they don't want you back in the lodge, I guess. And I'm not a Freemason. I really don't know anything. But it sounds like they want to bar you from going into lodges and being privy to Masonic business is what it...
Now, the funny part is that the worshipful master at the Miami Springs Lodge is a Hispanic individual.
Well, that's my point.
And I brought him a gift of a pocket watch, which was very expensive. And then I noticed that it was the secretary, the Anglo guy, who made the decision on everything. And he was telling this guy, like a little puppet marionette, what to do and what to say. And he never even called me. No one at that lodge, except one guy who happens to be American and is Jewish. And he called me and told me, this is what's actually happening. And I said to him, I figure it out. But I'm going to do now an expose on the practice of the diabolical feelings and emotions of Masons nowadays. It's like a pack of wolves, okay? A pack of wolves that get together. That's what Freemasonry is all about. It's about gossip, feeling superior that they belong to a fraternal order. What has happened is just like what has happened in the infrastructure in the American government. The American government was excellent. It set an example to follow by the United Nations and all the other nations of the world.
Now we have like, you're telling me that now that the higher echelons of Freemasons are equivalent to the deep state in the government? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Supreme Grand Lodge in Washington, D.C. is more powerful than the actual senators and congressmen. You have to go to Washington, D.C. and take a look at that. And once you see that, it's completely impressive. You know, we have people in government now that are so corrupted that it's unbelievable, like Kumei lying before the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the senator saying, well, just give us your version. You know, that's illegal. No, give us the facts. And he lied on their oath.
Right, you know, exactly. So, yeah, the truth is...
Girl, he's very upset, you know, because he was fired for obvious reasons.
Right. And let me tell you something.
He didn't get arrested.
And I understand this is, and which is where, you know, we get into that thing is like that nobody wants your opinion or your version. Everybody just wants the facts or the truth. But I'm going to ask you something, Charlie, because you know what? I know you've been involved with the Masons for years and years and years. Can you tell me between when you started, like when you said when you came from the Rosicrucians and you started at the as an initiate, I imagine, as a Freemason, how that differs between that and now? Because
It was truly men that had morals, values, and principles. I mean, the Masons nowadays, they're like, hi, how are you? Nice meeting you. We love you. They're backstabbing you behind the back. It's really evil people that have a place to go and practice and have a commonality in evil behavior. And then there's a smaller group that are practicing and worshiping Satanism and demonology. Okay. Back in my days, you truly had to be a man of principles, and they checked on your credentials.
Right. In other words, they wanted they were careful about, but. And I want to bring this up because, And the fact that you've gone to more than one source, in other words, more than one lodge, tells me that somewhere along the line, they decided that they, when they were going to accept people and put them up the rung, you know, the food chain, they were picking people that were not like what you thought Freemason originally was. Right. You see what I'm saying?
No, now it has decayed. It's become a joke. It's become a place for criminals or even people that don't have criminal records.
Right.
For people who are just plain evil. And, you know, it's really funny. They're so hypocritical. They actually open the Bible in lodge, but they don't read out anything. And you have someone goes and opens up the Bible and preaches and says, you know, prays for the American Constitution. But these people are all hypocrites. Nobody practices what they preach. I mean, they're worse than any other cult. You know, I'm a cult expert in the nation.
Exactly.
And Masonry has become a dark cult with satanic ties without doubt.
Okay. And I'm going to bring up, you remember when we had that interview back in February, you made mention that when you were traveling down in Texas, you came across a lodge that they took you down to a certain place. I'm going to let you tell that story because even you were shocked at what you found.
And I brought you the pictures.
Yes, I do have the pictures, I'll include them. But I want you to tell the story how you went by there, and as a Freemason, you stopped in at the lodge there, and you got a big, giant surprise.
I was involved in an investigation. I needed to go to Juarez in Mexico, where the cartel is, because they had there was some missing children.
Okay.
And I needed to find out if the Juarez Masonic Lodge, if there was any member in Texas that had any contacts there. So like that, I can speak down with the Brotherhood and be transparent and they can help me. I wish they did. During the process in this huge high degrees lodge, they brought me down to a cellar, three stories down, and this very unassuming door was there. And when they opened it, it was a full blown black magic practicing ritual lodge. And he blew my mind. And you have the
picture. I was going to say, I know you must have done a double take, right?
Oh, no. Well, you know, I didn't react like anyone would. And you can see the interlace of the black serpent and the red serpent, which was in the floor, all around the circle, which was completely amazing. And I was in shock. And then I said, oh, my God. So is it active? I said, yes. So some of us still practice in here. These people are the core of the top. These people are the worshipful masters. These people are the Scottish Rite in the Knight Templars. And they make sure that the members that are applying from below, the new members that are completely gullible and unaware of what true masonry has become now, that they're people that have potential in order to be easily manipulated, very limited IQ, who are completely non-religious, or that they see that they like to talk about the Bible, but they don't practice what they preach. Complete hypocrites. So like that, later they can manipulate them into their evil doings. And a lot of these people might be doing something thinking that is fraternal, when in fact they're contributing to evil causes. Now, they receive a lot of money from membership. They receive a lot of money from donations. And the guys that are on top, they're helping themselves to the booty. They're making money on the side like there's no tomorrow. You know, and they come up with different excuses in order to generate more money. Anyways, in over there, when I saw this, I inquired if I can be received into membership. And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely, no problem. You know, and I showed my credentials, which is there. We should have them. We should show them later.
Yes, on yes, slide. I have a slide.
You know, 32nd degree, the Knight Templars, and so forth. And some other organizations that I belong to, like the practice of the Kabbalah with the Martinis Order. Which is very ancient. It comes from Europe.
Right.
I'm a cult investigator. I have to be on top of everything, of every fraternal order out there that claims to be fraternal, secret societies, cults, and so forth, in order to be on top of my game. So whenever somebody says anything to me, I can say, well, that's true or that's not. Maybe there's no evidence. A lot of times, just because you don't have evidence doesn't necessarily mean that it did not happen. However, Freemasons claim to have their lineage back to the Knight Templars. That's not true. There's not one single hyena of evidence or archive to support that. They try to go even further, saying that, well, we come from the Temple of Solomon from Israel back in the days. Well, there's not one single archaeological symbol to corroborate that allegation. It's completely unfounded. So they create fictional stories in order to attract the gullible. But when you're an academic individual and you have 2 years of college or university, you learn how to perform academic research, you know, and that's something that people tend to surrender without researching or investigating not only Freemasonry, but also the Rosicrucians, because Amorg, the Rosicrucian order now that used to be fraternal, is run by the OTO, Ordo Templis Orientis, of the Black Lodge of Aleister Crowley.
I was going to say, that's satanic.
And they're in the millions, you know, and you have a guy there named Raymond Bernard that's been there for the last 25 years, like a demagogue, you know, and you don't see him doing any type of fraternal activities. In the old days, before he came on board, it was truly a fraternal organization, and their teachings were excellent. When he came on board, he completely removed them, you know, and people that have that been there for over 25 years, like myself, and then the top grades, he took that out, and then he started with simplicity. Well, now we're going to go back to elementary school. It's like when you reach your fourth year of graduate school, your professor says, well, we're going to learn the ABCs. Are you out of your mind? What the hell is going on? And that's what he did. The newer generation nowadays, it's not gullible because we have the internet and we can research and get both sides of the story.
So basically what you're telling me is that the principles or the original Freemasons, of which many of the founding fathers are a part of, is not the Freemasons of today.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so it's really funny. You meet a lot of these guys. I was at the Scottish Rite in Miami, and I spoke with the secretary there also. Really nice guy. Took him to an $80 lunch across the street. And I said, by the way, I have this situation. Can you help me out? Somebody's defamating me. Oh, yeah, I'll look into it. Never heard from him, you know. And then I call another guy. Oh, by the way, this is going on. One hillbilly. Never heard from him again. So I'm going like, oh, my God. So all of this is a fake. It's a fraud. It's a front. And it's run by people that just don't believe in God. You know, that's the bottom line. And again, you know, they don't practice what they preach. What are they practicing? Morals and dogmas. Luciferian doctrines and principles.
Let me ask you something, Charlie. And I'm going to, no pun intended, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Why would they single you out? And when I want to say single you out, I mean, why have they obviously don't want you to participate in Freemasonry? Is it because of the book you wrote? Is it because they don't think you're going to be on board with Luciferianism? I mean, what is it about you or what you've done or said?
Later, I found out that it was due to my expose from my book that I did about 10 years ago.
Okay.
That now it takes fruition into saying, by the way, these guys is exposing our true selves in here. You know, and no, they don't go around saying, yeah, you know, all of that. You know, if you confront them, nobody who practices, you know, and follows the Prince of Darkness is going to make an admission to it. Of course not. You know, it'd be ridiculous. Criminals don't go and knock at the door and say, by the way, I just robbed the bank. Can you please, expedite me into prison?
Exactly.
But I never seen, of all the cults that I have investigated, and I'm telling you, people that do kidnapping, strong cults, or people that are just plain lunatics, I never seen, nor did I expected Freemasonry to be so many hypocrites compounded all together, like Alcoholic Anonymous. You know, they all have some, like a common denominator between all of them.
Well, but see, and this is, I guess, my question. It's not coincidental then. There must be, like I said, of course, you know, if you have all these lodges, it's unrealistic not to think that you are going to run into people that you just did not get see eye to eye with. That's going to happen wherever you go. But the fact that what you're describing is that just about everybody that you've reached out to has basically reacted the same way, which is turned their back on you. Talks to me and if you're telling me, okay, these people are all, behaving the same way, either one, there is a conspiracy. Number two, they're recruiting individuals with these characteristics, which from what you're telling me is not really what you knew as the Masons when you went into it.
No, no, because when you read this, and this is what they give you when you're entering as an enter apprentice, and
okay.
then fellow craft, and then Freemason, you read this, it's a beautiful book, you know, and it's talking about transparency and morals and principles and values and ethics, fraternal brotherhood between one another. And then you read this and go like, hey, you know, I want to be part of this. But at the end of the day, you're contributing money to membership. They're constantly asking for donations. They're constantly asking for money. They're constantly asking such and such needs so much help. You know, you are actually, that money, it's going to Baphomet. You know,
okay.
that's the bottom line. That's where it's going.
Okay,
to.
And I'm, you know, I'm going to, since obviously you're the expert on this, I'm going to get back because there's a lot of conspiracy. Besides what you've said, let's take what your experience off the table. You know, there's a lot of conspiracy and information and misinformation about Masons. So let's go back to the symbology or the symbols that the Masons have always used. Okay, some people say it's just Masons. You know, this is their symbols. And then other people want to say that there's some type of occult message in it. What do you say?
Well, you know, the G stands for the geometry.
Right.
You know, also God. So it's just not one single interpretation. And then, of course, you have the level, you know. So we meet at the level and we depart on the cross and so forth. So it's just, there's nothing esoteric about it. There's nothing really of secrecy that you go like, wow, you know, I mean, I think I just learned the universal meaning of the cosmos.
Right.
None of that nature. They never truly, I mean, they're hypocrites. They open up the Bible, and then you have a preacher and so forth, and you have other officers in large, the secretary, first and second deacon, first and second warden, you know, the piano organ, the guy who holds the flag, all of these things. And some of these people are really nice. They mean well, but they're ignorant as to what's behind.
Let me ask you something. How long do you have to be a Mason before you start being brought into these, what I call inner sanctum?
Between 6 months to a year, then you become a master mason. You have to go and enter apprentice. It takes within 3 months that they wait. You have to memorize all these things. And okay. if you don't memorize a full chapter that big of 30 pages, then they don't think that you're worthy of being a mason. Ridiculous, you know. And then you become, you know, a fellow craft, and you have to memorize another half booklet like that of liturgy. You know, and I come from the East, and we meet in the West, and Bo, Ash, and all these ridiculous names that have absolutely no meaning in life. It's just memorization tactics. And then if you miss one word, you know, oh my God, you know, you're completely banished. You know, you're not worthy of our organization because you're not taking the time and effort to memorize our stuff. So they're looking for people to be dogmatized, indoctrinated. And
okay.
anyone who takes the time and the effort away from their family and from reading the Bible, because they don't mention you to memorize one single hyena of one little paragraph of the Bible. And that in itself is a clue of masonry practicing evilness.
Let me ask you something, Charlie. Every time when people go from one degree to the other, is there like some type of ritual or ceremony that takes place?
Yes. The higher degrees, which starts from Freemasonry, and it starts at 14, 15, 16, it's all done in a three-day period, usually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Scottish Rite. And it costs about $500 to $1,000.
Okay.
And then from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, and you're given breakfast, lunch, and dinner, there's a play, like in an opera. And
right.
it's constant plays trying to demonstrate the Abin Habif and names like that during the Temple of Solomon and how somebody betray another one and so forth. You know, like what I'm doing now for them is a betrayal. I'm exposing them, you know.
I was about to and say, keep going. But
if you go and ask them, by the way, I need help. No, that's not a betrayal. It's not a betrayal, you know. And of course, being a Hispanic and with some neurons in my, you know, for them, it's a challenge. Oh my God, you know, watch out for him. So, you know, it's really funny. I had this worshipful master from Lake Placid. I had him here for lunch at my house with the secretary.
Okay.
I bought him a gift. I donated money. I brought him 5 members to be part of his lodge. And because they were all Hispanics, he rejected them all. Believe it or not. The hatred, the racism, the discrimination.
But let me ask you something, Charlie. This is the part that I guess I don't understand is, for example, like you said here in South Florida, I know that there's a ton of Masons that are Hispanic. Okay.
Yes, but not operating under the Grand Lodge jurisdiction. Those are like underground lodges, a lot of them. And they're very good people because they are Masons from Cuba that came in here practicing ancient craft of Freemasonry. And they do keep a good fraternal. It's really funny. Some of these underground lodges are more fraternal, and they're not involving anything satanic or evilness, contrary to the ones that hold the constitutional letters to operate under the Grand Lodge of Florida. It's completely amazing. You know, I got news for you. You know, I'm in my 50s. You know, if somebody says to me something, I give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, even criminals have due process of law, right, you know, and constitutional rights. In Freemasonry nowadays, you don't have none of that. They don't care. You know, and if you're Hispanic, any less. Well, you have a president now. You know, he's got it up for the poor Mexicans. You know, well, you know, historically speaking,
but,
half of the United States belongs to the Mexicans.
But you know what? To me, it's, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. My thing is that, to me, it sounds more than just a racial thing with you. I have a feeling it looks more like that once you did that expose and you started writing that book, right about then was when you put a bullseye on you. Where that, what I'm saying is, it wouldn't matter who you were because of what you're basically exposing. Let's use the right word. That right there made you persona non grata, where nobody wants you because they're afraid that you're going to see or overhear something and you're going to out them. And which I want to ask you, in all these ceremonies as you were going up, excuse me, did you ever have, were there any occult ceremonies or rituals?
Yes, all of them.
Like what?
All of them are occult. Whenever you have a Shekinah, okay, and you have sticks and you're banging on the floor, that's for the invocations of archangels.
Okay.
That's a ritual. Okay. They do not represent that as being a ritual, but it is a ritual. So that you're taught that what you're seeing is not what it is, and then you have no clue of what really Masonry is all about, you know. But later on, you continue in the membership thinking that there's a comradeship, you know, in there. Until the moment comes that after you're giving and giving and giving and giving, and then one day you say, I need a dollar. What? No, are you crazy? You know, they try to get rid of them. Yeah, it's very ritualistic in nature, and some lodges are actually practicing black magic in their lodges.
Okay, and which was going to be my next question, because it sounds like, and what I thought was like the Freemasons, that even though they have their individual lodges, which it kind of run, they still have like an umbrella or some type of hierarchy that they need to, but you know, I guess respond to,
report to,
oversees them. But from what you're telling me, there's people out there. What are they? Rogue Freemasons? What is that?
No. Let me put it to you this way: when I made a phone call to the Supreme Grand Lodge of Florida in Jacksonville, the secretary,
right,
and I said to him, "There's something unjust going on. There's a slander and defamation going on, which I can get an attorney and sue and win because I talked to the attorneys.
Okay.
But I don't want to go against the fraternity. All I want you to do is to put a stop to this."
Right.
No problem. Don't do that. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Never heard from him. You know, that prompted me for the first time in my life. I was faced with the evilness of the black hearts of these Freemasons. When I started investigating them, then it's when I found out, and I read more carefully the books.
Okay.
And I found out about their stashes. Then it's when I put this together with Norbus Aldus Eclorium. Then it's when I saw the lack of practicing what's in the Bible. You put all the ingredients together,
okay,
and what do you have? You know, if he walks like a dog, you know, it looks like a dog, it has feathers like a dog, and he quacks like a dog, it has to be a duck.
Yeah, a duck.
You know?
So, Charlie, do you think that, like you said, there? Because honestly, it sounds now like you do have what you called underground lodges, that maybe the reason they're underground is because they don't.
Glad that you mentioned that. So I started doing further investigation into the presumed allegations that there were black lodges.
Right.
And I said, oh my God, this couldn't possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a case on the internet by Roberta Moore, who makes an accusation of Freemasons being involved in Wisconsin, Ogama, Wisconsin, practicing black magic. And then I started doing more research and more research, and I made a phone call to her, and
okay.
She was able to provide me with some documents, which unfortunately I cannot disclose now because I will be involved in potential litigation.
Okay.
And, you know, all I'm doing is just an expose to people and warn them, do not become a Mason. If you are, do the research of what I have exposed in here. You want to do something, you worship God. You worship the Bible. You don't have to be religious. Just believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, whichever denominations you have.
Okay,
and
so let me ask you, because you know what? I had always thought, I mean, I've heard all the various theories as far as the ceremonies and Freemasons and everything, but I had always thought that they worshiped God, in other words. And from what you're telling me, there's lodges out there that they're anything but that.
True. You know, it's really funny. I remember changing conversations, but just to make a point, you and me did a program on television for Los Angeles, Florida Paranormal Research Foundation.
Yes.
Of ghosts.
Yes.
You know, and everybody makes such a big thing out of ghosts. And we were there, and there was a lot of movement and sound when we were there. And this got captured in camera. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And, you know, if you were to tell this to people, they won't believe it until they experience it. It's just like, you know, like you mentioned before, your perception becomes your reality.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, this is one of those anomalies that it's like accusing the church of some of their priests being pedophiles. Well, you know, when that surfaced at the beginning in Boston, you know, with 33 cases of child abuse by one priest and he got away with it, you know, then everybody started doing a major investigation. The Vatican and the archdiocese is allocated millions of dollars in settlement as a gag order to keep people silent.
Right.
And this is what I'm doing now. You know, I have no gag order. And really funny, you're going to love this. Today, I am still in good standing with my certificate from the Grand Lodge of being an active member. I just don't have any lodge. But I'm doing an expose now.
What happens? You're supposed to belong to the lodge where you live in.
Is Blue Lodge, yeah. You're supposed to have a Blue Lodge that is your mother lodge that you go there and have an activism. Now, I'm active in the other higher degrees still, but I'm required to have that. So now I'm like, I can't belong to any lodge unless they say, hey, you know, we're not into that. Come and join us. But it would be very rare. I lost complete faith based on the lack of action and the effort that all these people have put with evil hearts and with a lot of mental behaviors of evilness. But anyways, there are people now, and I'm about to penetrate some of these evil Masonic organizations that are practicing and worshiping Baphomet, you know, as listed in Morals and Dogmas by Albert Pike. And by the way, this book can be found on eBay, Morals and Dogmas, and it's out of print, and sometimes they sell them for $40 or $100, but it's there.
Okay.
And just look into page 321, and you'll see what it says. Now, I heard a guy who used to do conspiracy theories, you know, talk about this before. I never paid any attention. I go like, you know, he's full of crap.
Right.
I'm not going to bother opening that book, and I have a series of these books.
Okay.
And funny enough, you were with me on a research that we did together many years ago at the Scottish Rite in Miami.
Yes,
you
remember that, yes.
And I brought it to your attention, which I have a picture there, which you actually took.
Yes.
Of the pentagram, the red and the black.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
What do you think that means? You know, so I went into more research to find out, and I said, oh my God, I mean, this is for real. I mean, of course, they're not advocating that, because if they did, then they will be completely closed. But, you know, point to make. In 1966, LaVey establishes the first satanic church in California and San Francisco.
Right.
You know, and now we have a whole bunch of satanic churches that are underground, La Santa Muerte, you know, and some other people that practice magic. Wicca, a lot of people are confused with Wicca. Wicca It's the practice of magic with nature. You know, right, it's esoteric, right. It's mystical, it's nature.
Right.
In Wicca, you do not find black magic, you know.
Right.
It's just not there. It goes against everything. You know, the covenants are not there. You have black magic for that. You have Santeria, and you have some other cults that are oriented toward that aim. But no one will ever suspect, and I was completely bewildered, and my heart was broken, when I saw that I belonged for over 33 years to a fraternal organization in which it was involved. You know, until I became a victim, I didn't know. That's unfortunate.
Okay. So, you know what? Since you opened that door, we're going to go through it. You're telling me not all lodges, some lodges, you know, are basically doing dark magic, what you're saying, or black practitioners or whatever sure. You want to call it. All right. Now, I know that you're aware that lately in the news, maybe for the last 6 months, and we spoke briefly about it at the beginning of the year about Pizzagate and how about that they were tie-ins with high-level people from all different types of industries that were into pedophiles and trafficking and child sacrifice. Is there any tie-in between what you found so far and that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is all documented. The audience, what they need to do is just on Google, so their search engine, type missing children, mm-hmm. satanic sacrifices. And with those keywords, everything will surface there. I was involved in an investigation. I got hired by a group of Christian people in order to find out if there was any authenticity to the claim in Los Angeles of missing people. There's over 10,000 children disappearing a year in Los Angeles, California, believe it or not. And that's according to the Department of Justice statistics. So it's official, you know. And it's been going on extensively within the last 6 or 7 years. And there has been no dedicated law enforcement department trying to do any type of intervention. And from there on, they're transported into Juarez, Mexico, where the cartel, most of the drug dealers in there, practice the religious belief of La Santa Muerte. And one of the things that they have is human sacrifices and the drinking of blood of babies or adolescents. And this is what gives them protection. You know, they're going back into the sacrifices of the Incas and the Aztecs and the pyramids and all of this madness. But it's become very strong. Now, the Catholic Church in Mexico has not interfered with La Santa Muerte.
And okay. La
in Juarez, Mexico, when I inquired during my investigation there, why wasn't the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese of El Paso interfere, they said, they get money out of this. They know it. They won't expose us.
How do they get money?
Well, you know, like say the madrina or the sorcerer, she receives about $10,000.
Oh,
children,
right?
You know, and she resells them to the drug cartel for another 20. So you know, she makes quite a hefty profit. So it's an underground, ongoing situation in America, which is sort of mixed sometimes with the human trafficking for sex. You know,
right.
But, you know, if you, this is really hilarious. I mean, you pick up the phone right now and you say, by the way, there's a terrorist across the street. They're going to laugh at you and hang up the phone. There's actually not even a 1-800 number for terrorism to report.
Right. I know that a lot of people, you know, they say that even though they tell you to, you know, report what, if you see something suspicious, at the same time, sometimes people feel like they think twice about it because they don't want to be labeled, you know, that you're a racist, so they kind of don't say anything.
The mediocrity of law enforcement nowadays, you become the target of the investigation, and you will get indicted. I mean, nowadays you need no evidence for that. And I'm an ex-cop, so I know how it works nowadays.
Right,
know.
And nobody
but
wants to be.
But also have, with a situation with missing children, you know, you have the John Doe Society, which you belong to. I have contacted them 5 times to make an inquiry. They never answered my emails, and they never answered my phone. So what does that tell you? Well, now, they're there. If you send in an email, you know, I have $500,000 to donate, you know, which is a write-off tax, then they'll answer the phone. They'll be knocking on your door. You know, we're here. Yes. Oh, yes, please. Thank you very much. You know. So what's the heck is going on? You know, it's complete social madness.
But I'm going to, and you know what, Charlie? I guess my thing is, because even though when you look at, you know, these stories that they've had about Pizzagate, which are people in the government and royal families, all of these people that have participated for years, according to them, okay, sure, in pedophilia, okay, mm-hmm, if not outright child sacrifice, okay. Sure. And I guess I want to come back to what you said, which is that some of these lodges are, in reality, they're worshiping the devil, or that they believe in black magic.
And
do you think, and I know I'm not saying, you know, do you believe that there's a possibility that any of these lodges or some of its members do participate in child sacrifice or something like that?
Not specifically in the lodges, because that would leave residues of DNA which can later be traced, you know.
Okay.
They do it outside, you know, where they can dispose of the bodies by burying them. You know, they just don't do that anymore. You know, it's really funny. We are fighting terrorism internationally, yet we still have the KKK and 30 neo-Nazi groups active in Florida, and you don't see that being exposed. Hypocrisy again. You know, what does the neo-Nazi group do?
Everything is like, what's going to get the bigger headline? And unfortunately, terrorism trumps everything.
Yeah, true, but we need to create awareness. We need, so people can take precautions. You know, there's a lot of missing children in the state of Florida. You know, according to statistics by DCF, Department of Children and Families, mm-hmm, in Florida alone, there are over 30 registered pedophiles in Florida alone.
Yes, there's a lot.
Out of those 30,000, let's calculate that at least 25, okay, are serial pedophiles, and they're kidnapping children. Right. They're raping them, they're torturing them, and then they're assassinating them.
Right.
That does not reach the news, and it needs to, because we need to allocate within law enforcement specific departments to constantly not only monitor and educate the public, okay, but also to hunt these bastards down, you know. And
absolutely.
You know, so I'm just not making a critique of the evilness of what's actually occurring in our society nowadays, but also providing countermeasures and prevention to safeguard our loved ones and ourselves away from harm's way.
Of course. And you know what? And I understand, because, you know, your local community, you know, this is where you actually live from day to day, and your family lives from day to day. And, you know, you make a good point. You know, part of is being aware of what's around you and taking precautions to safeguard the safety of your family and yourself, of course.
Sure.
And I want to say, for all the criminals or pedophiles or whatever you want to call them that have been identified, and usually they are, you know, once they get that label of being a sex offender or a sexual predator, it follows them around. There's a slew of them that have never been labeled just because they've never been caught. Okay.
True.
The only time that you get something like that is once you're caught and arrested and convicted, and then they, you know,
you're
in prison, who cares what you are, because you're in prison. But that you, once you go out into the community, you know, you're identified as such. But if you've never been arrested for whatever reason, okay, then guess what? You're unknown to those, you know, that you live amongst it, which is, and if you look at a lot of these crimes that are committed against children, that's how they get away with it for so long, because they had never been caught before. And right. I'm going to go right back to what you said. You know, you yourself pointed out, you know, a lot of these people, I'm not going to say all of them, because that's absolutely, but, you know, I do believe that a lot of criminals, especially if they're just a little bit intelligent, they realize the best place to hide is in plain sight, okay?
Sure.
Or appearing to be a very responsible citizen. And I'm gonna borrow from Hollywood. I'm sure you saw that program Breaking Bad, and now they've got the spinoff, which is Let's Call Saul. And you know that one of the main protagonists slash antagonist is the guy that's a drug dealer that owns the Dos Hermanos, you know, the restaurant, who goes and speaks to the police, and the guy is, you know, the best citizen of the town. You know, he gives to all the charities, works for the police, the firemen, owns the restaurant, very soft-spoken guy. But behind the scenes, he's trucking in loads of drugs. And the analogy I'm trying to make is, Charlie, that sometimes you will get people who on the outward appearance to society, like a Mason, you know, especially if you're telling me that some of them are a little bit darker than they should be. Hey.
Behold that they come, the wolf dressed as sheep.
Well, this is...
Masonry has become that, unfortunately.
Well, this is what I'm saying, and I'm not saying that that's...
I am living proof of that.
Well, you know, and I'm basing this on what you're telling me that your firsthand experience has been, and like you say, you've been doing this for many, many years. Let me ask you, I know you've traveled to Europe, and you've had contact with Masons in Europe. Did you ever see anything like that when you were in Europe?
No, not in Europe, not at all. They truly practice transparency and brotherhood. You do not get that here in the state of Florida at all. It's really, really, truly scary, you know. And I have to say that I cannot, and also in South America, you know, I haven't experienced that, and I have traveled all over the world.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you, and I know you talked about it at the beginning a little bit, but I'm going to ask you again, because again, you know, like you said, with the internet, everything has become more transparent, or it's out there, sure, for better or for worse, sometimes, especially with misinformation. Do you really think, is there any tie-in between Masons and the Illuminati? I'm going to use that because that's, yes, the one everybody talks about. As a matter of fact, that, what, a week ago, the Bilderberg, you know, got together in Virginia, Chantilly, Virginia, where supposedly all these high-ranking, powerful people got together, and a lot of people think that they're part of the New World Order slash Illuminati slash we want to take the world over. Do you see any tie-in from Freemasons into that whole,
yeah,
I want to call it?
Strictly people of the 33rd degree, you know, which is by invitation only.
Okay.
And, you know, you have people there from IMF, International Monetary Fund, and, you know, a whole bunch of other associations that I'm not even going to mention, because, okay, I don't want to sound like I'm repeating what other conspiracy theorists are doing.
Okay.
You know, but that's in my book also,
okay,
but from a different angle, because a lot of people, they mention it, but they don't find the link. You actually have to go out there in the field and make an investigation, you know. Yeah, absolutely. You know, President Bush, father, in 1992,
mm-hmm,
September 11, okay, he said on national television, we will establish a new world order, whether by force or demise, you know. And, you know, that's on the internet. You can look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
And then years later, his son, on 9/11, you know, it occurred, the unfortunate New World Trade Towers incidents. And, you know, wait a minute, was that just a coincidence, you know, years later and now this is happening? No, it's numerology. And I believe the Freemasons could have possibly had their hands in there, just like they did with the JFK assassination.
Okay.
And a lot of people go like, what? You know, I went there to Houston to the book depository, and I saw a picture of the Warren Commission, and
okay,
they were making with Ford and Alan Dulles, they were making Masonic symbols of handshakes. And I said, oh my God, the Masons were behind this. You know, how,
wow,
interesting. And, you know, people don't talk about that either, because Freemasonry, they want to safeguard it as a fraternal organization.
Okay.
It is not.
And I know I'm going to, let's get off a little bit on the metaphysical thing, because I do believe that behind the hard facts, there's always a metaphysical angle. And you mentioned something right now about numerology. Like you said, well, there's no coincidence that one thing took place on the same date as the other. Now, yeah, I'm going to ask you, have you seen proof of numerology being used with Masons? And if it does work, if it's real?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the symbology and the iconic, the icons are there for a reason. You know, they're respective of a certain wisdom,
okay,
which is secretive and is only to be shared with the high degrees. You know, and that not every Freemason unfortunately, is aware. You know, I think that 80% of Freemasons are not aware of the order that they belong to, unfortunately. Okay. And of course, a very limited programs like this ones that are doing the expose. And when you have somebody, you know, he looks like a quack. You know, there's no seriousness to that. And on top of that, okay, he can't put together, you know, the symbols and what is being said. You know, why on earth would United States have in their pyramid New World Order and in Latin? And they wrote it in Latin so you wouldn't understand it. I mean, I have a bachelor's degree. I went to FIU, University of Miami, Barry University, where I graduated from. And I don't remember in the curriculum Latin. You know, it just doesn't happen.
It's a dead language. It's like, I understand what you're saying. I even though I'm thinking back when the Freemasons were established, learned, you know, if you were a little bit, you know, you had learned how to speak Latin, you know, and it makes it sound classier. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the foundation of Freemasonry was very good, you know. It was for gentlemen, people of high morals and degrees.
Right.
You know. And it was non-political on that aspect. It was like any other organization trying to meet the needs of your fraternal brother. The Vatican actually condemns Freemasonry. And in a lot of countries, it also does. And I didn't know why. I go like, well, these people are jealous, my fraternal organization. Now, what I found out is I am fraternal. I am a humanist. I'm a political activist. You know, I love to give and help people. It's my nature. But it's people like me that make Masonry. Masonry never did anything for me. Masonry never gave me anything at all whatsoever. And the day that I reach out for a simple membership into a closer location, then, you know, all hell breaks loose. As a result of my freedom of expression as an author and recognized globally to write something about secret society.
Okay, now
it became the Inquisition, the Masonic Inquisition.
But you know what, Charlie, and I'm going to ask you, because before you ever went ahead and researched your book, when you were a Mason in good standing.
Still coincidental.
Okay, I'm only kidding. You know what I'm talking about.
Not after this program, but
okay.
Sure.
But no. What I'm saying, in prior years, before you maybe even researched a book, when you know you would have gone to any lodge and they would have opened the doors for you and said, "Come on in."
True.
Did you ever hear, something like what you're talking about? We've got some guy out there doing or saying stuff. We got to, we got to do something about him. Did you ever hear stuff like that when you were, okay?
Yes, I did.
Out with it. You don't want to mention names. Don't mention them. But, and I know sometimes you...
I did, but you know, I discarded them. Just like, you know, I discard them as gossip. Because for me, in my mind, the way that I am, and I'm a Virgo, I'm a perfectionist. I need to see evidence. I need to see proof, you know. It's like, you know, I'm looking at all these books on Freemasonry.
So what, you were thinking that always them, never me?
I'm sorry?
What did you think when you were hearing these guys, these other Masons, basically, like you said, blackballing somebody else, whoever it was, for whatever reason, you thought, okay, this has got nothing to do with me, or you just thought they deserved it, or what?
You know, you give them the benefit of the doubt because they're Freemasons. They've been here for years, longer than you. There are people that are constantly smiling and being fraternal and friendly.
Okay.
And, you know, they're the devil in disguise. I mean, you will never suspect the hypocrisy of these people and the evilness in their hearts until you experience it and you become a victim again. You know, and it was a rough awakening for me. I go like, my God, let me tell you, I was disgusted for a whole month. I said, okay, I can't believe it. And then I said, wait a minute, you know something? There's more to it. Maybe God is making this happen to me so like that I don't waste my time, my money, and continue to promote. Every time I did a humanitarian donation, people said, like, why are you doing this? I said, I'm a Freemason. So I was actually identifying myself as a Freemason and actually credentializing Freemasonry.
You were doing PR for the Masons, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and now the truth has to come out, and it's here written.
Okay,
you know,
so
it's here in every angle of everything you can possibly imagine.
Okay, so I'm gonna, since we're going out there, let's go out there all the way. I'm sure, you know, since you said, okay, yeah, you know, that there is such a thing as, you know, Illuminati, New World Order, Masons, whatever you want to call them. I mean, maybe that's the label people have been given, but who knows? Maybe they have their own internal designation for themselves that nobody's aware of. Do you, because you have some theories out there, okay, where they say that many of these New World Order groups are basically selling out humankind to extraterrestrials, and they have been doing it for very long. Do you think there's any truth to that?
That would be another program on the paranormal and parapsychology.
No, and you have to understand, the reason why I'm saying this is that this is
our interview.
What you're talking about sounds almost like it's the tip of the iceberg.
No, that's too far-fetched, a little bit science fiction. You know, okay. And I'm a ufologist, but I try not to mix apple and oranges, even though they go in the same basket. Because, you know, there, unfortunately, you have to provide a lot of evidence, which, by the way, I have documentation on that. So we can do a program on that.
Okay.
Things that I have acquired, people that have been engineers in NASA. And, you know, I'm just like an hour and a half away from Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, you're very close by.
So, you know, I know about that. But a relationship between that and, you know, no, not whatsoever. You know, that's X-File science fiction stuff. But just to answer this much, yes, there are extraterrestrial life. You know, it will be very inconceivable that it will not in this immense universe. I cannot see God creating this one beautiful universe. And, you know, we humanoids being the only ones, imperfect human beings that are into the act.
You know what? And I myself have no difficulty believing something like that, even though I haven't seen it. My angle is that since we're talking about basically groups of people that want to manipulate, that they're like, what, the less than the 1%, and they're looking at humankind as basically property or things to be.
Guinea pigs.
You know, that there's a theory out there that they basically have worked with extraterrestrials in engineering genetics, not recently, but for quite some time. Or the flip side of that thing, where you have some theories out there that some of these people themselves are not really truly fully human, but are partially extraterrestrial in origin. Sure you've heard of that theory. And I'm just asking just asking you.
No, but for me, way too much science fiction. You know, I remember something along those lines with the chemtrails, you know.
Right.
Exactly. I said, like, how can the government be conducting such things, you know?
Right.
Then I started researching that, and it panned out. I was in a military base, which I cannot name, and I saw the tanks, you know, and I was like, oh my God, this is real. You know, and I interviewed a lot of people, and I got a lot of evidence, and I never done an expose on that. Then it was the FEMA death camps and all of that, and I started investigating that, and it was completely false. It's all false. It's a defamation campaign.
Okay.
Mixed with a lot of stuff, like Ike with the reptilians and people in Congress that are Martians. No. That's just to defamate people like you and me that bring out the seriousness into the paranormal. You know, and because that's what it is, it's anomalies. And some things that can be proven that have a track record, you know, in order to support those conspiracy theories. Where it ceases to be a theory or a hypothesis, it becomes a reality. Right. You know, it's just like the due process of law when you have a trial. You know, you have to have the evidence. And unfortunately, a lot of people are very imaginative. And a lot of people are doing it to sell books like Ike. And, you know, a lot of people like to read all of that stuff. Me, I'm a different author. You know, I provide evidence in all my books. You know, and I remember when I was doing the research for my Spanish book, El Circo de los Cavernícolas, you know, I had to take off for a whole year to verify and authenticate and interview people and everything that they said. I have to go out there and, you know, I said, okay, this is worthy of. So I avoid liability of lawsuits coming on me, you know. But, you know, nowadays anyone can sue for anything. But going back into this, we'll leave that for another program. I think it would be very interesting to touch that on that basis. You know, but Freemasonry, unfortunately, is not what it used to be. And the reason why I relate my personal experience is because that was what ignited, you know, me to research and investigate further the organization that I thought that was fraternal, anything but.
Okay, you know. I'm gonna give you a hypothetical situation. If after I, well, depends. Well, after I air the show, which I don't think is gonna matter one way or the other, you get a phone call from whether it's Jacksonville or that lodge, and they say, "Hey, Charlie, man, what happened to you? Why haven't you shown up? Were you supposed to be part of this lodge? Like, everything is good." What would you do?
I'm out of it. You know, anything that has to do with, like, crooking these documents with Lucifer, I'm out of it, you know. I'm out of it. And I did what my duty calls upon as a Christian or a Catholic or you know, the Bible, you know, which is the closest thing of the scriptures that we have of the messages of people that were disciples of God, you know. And I will mention it again, Ephesians 5:11. Do not partake of the unfruitfulness of darkness, but instead expose them. And when you do that, well, of course, you know, there's going to be retribution to this video, if you think not, because Freemasons have become extremely vindictive people. They're like terrorists.
Oh, really? You know? That's interesting. Oh,
no, they're people to be feared.
You okay, know, so what you're telling me is they don't stop at just not letting you in the lodge. They go further with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, they. I mean, I had a friend of mine here who's a state investigator. It's a friend of mine. Okay. Worked for the state of Florida, and he warned me. He says, "These people will burn your house," because it has happened before.
Wow, Charlie, that's way out there. You think that's real or realistic?
No. Hey, listen, I did an expose on television about the corruption of the Hillary emails and the corruption of Kumei, the former FBI director.
Right.
And I had an attempt on my life. I went online. And, you know, nobody came to save the day. And when you're an activist, a political activist, and you know, you're like you're in a crusade to expose darkness, you know, of course you're going to have retribution. You know, look at what happened to all these great people. You know, Snowden. You know, he had to leave the country. They put a contract to assassinate him. He hasn't been forgiven. You know, if he shows up around here, they'll kill him. Julian Assange. You know, they have a sniper outside the window waiting for him to step out.
Yeah,
they'll assassinate and kill him. Years have gone by, and these people are still on the blacklist to be assassinated. I had a friend of mine who was murdered, an author, for exposing in his book, Carlos Perez y Perez, from Baghdad to Maine, you know, the conspiracy things. And he was a former CIA agent for 30 years, and that they killed him. You know, he called me, and there's a television program that I spoke about this in RT television. And this is Charles. I think I got a hit coming on. And I go, really? I said, I think you might be overreacting. I said, well, they broke into my house. I look into my computers. I got hidden microphones in here. And I found them. And I said, well, maybe you just want to know what you're up to. You know, you're not doing anything wrong, so just let them be. You know, don't interfere with that. And, you know, nowadays the government can come into your house without a warrant, you know, and that's invasion of privacy. The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution was eradicated without being put to vote into the people of our society. Therefore, we are no longer a democracy. We are a semi-fascist nation, you know. And of course, we do not get educated in the meaning of on the meaning of fascism, you know. But study it. That's what we have in plan now. So behind this, you have organizations like the Illuminatis with the New World Order and the Freemasons backing them financially. All of this is actually happening, you know. I've been here for 33 years, active Freemason in good standing, donating hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay, which I should have saved that money for my retirement, thinking that this was being used for good purposes, for humanist purposes, you know, contrary to that. All this, I've been serving this without having knowledge, and I implore anyone out there who's a Freemason to look into the evidence that I have provided in this video. And if you know anyone who's a Freemason, expose this video to them. Because we need to get awareness.
You know, I mean, I'm going to release it, absolutely. But, and Charlie, you know what? I'm going to go back to this because it's almost really concerning that you're telling me that you think that they might go beyond just not, you know, barring you from entering a lodge. Because at the end of the day, don't get me wrong, I understand why you're so upset about that. But there is a big difference between being excluded out of membership versus what you're telling me, which is you think that they might basically there's retribution beyond that.
I'm 98% sure. And he's, I'm glad that they did. I'm not upset, on the contrary. I'm not upset that they did this to me. I welcome this with open arms because I opened up my eyes, you know. So it was like, oh, my God, God put this situation in my path in order for me to say, oh, Lord, I need to bring this out to other people that are completely deluded or unaware, that are members of Freemasonry, thinking that they actually belong to an organization. You know, and they're not. A lot of these people are practicing black magic, worshiping Lucifer, as it is said here in the books of Albert Pike, Morals and Dogmas. And that continues to be in effect today. And I know that as a fact because I was inside the Black Lodge. And you have pictures of this. So if you
want to have the pictures,
feel free to do it. You know,
this
is evidence.
And, to be perfectly honest with you, I remember something that you told me, which was very surprising, that you told me that that had been established since the 1930s.
Oh, yeah. The pictures are there, too. I gave it to you.
Yes, and,
I want to tell this to people that might be going there and going like, you know, he's crazy. How does his mind? Just emotionally reacting. He needs to be on Prozac. I got news for you. This is not defamation. If it's true, it's not defamation. So bring your attorneys on, because I will even expose them more. Because like everything else that I do, I hold an ace. I always hold an ace card, you know, and that's what bothers them. So, you know, it won't be the first time that people come to me, which say, well, if you don't stop doing that, you know, we're going to take this further. I go, bring it on. Because you try to make that move, then I'll expose you into the following, you know.
And so what you're telling me is that at this point, despite all your years, that's it, as far as you're concerned, Freemasons or Freemasonry is, that's it. No more of that for you?
No, whatsoever at all. I mean, I got rid of my rings and everything. I looked at it now. I everything that I have archived is just as a cult organization. Mm-hmm. You know, this lodge, JMP 371 from Miami, people that have served 5 years in jail for narcotics, for theft, for political corruption, they were cooking the books and making the, I mean, it was just unbelievable what these people were doing. And I was completely unaware of it. And I was like, oh my God, what the heck is going on? And you know, and to say that the Jacksonville Supreme Grand Lodge was not aware of it, you know. And you know, it's like, what is actually going on? There's some that are still active doing a lot of illegal stuff. They just have not, they've been working under the radar. They're very smart.
And I know I'm going to throw something out there, and we're not going to, because I know that case that you spoke about in Wisconsin, that I'm aware of it, and I know there's a lot of stuff there that's very disturbing, tied into what happened there with the Masons there.
Yeah.
Very disturbing. Charlie, let me ask you, something that I've been really curious about, you know, that they always have that one eye, that all-seeing eye, as far as the symbolism for Masons. What does that mean as far as the Masons are concerned? The real, as far as you know.
I think the Masons, in my opinion, from my research, are eclectic, you know, bringing from different sources, you know.
Right.
They don't have an original substance, per se. You know, years, every 100 years, you know, they take and so forth and put in there and add and, you know, adapting.
Okay.
But to answer directly, the all-seeing eye is the Horus eyes from Egypt,
right.
You know, which is representative of Thoth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Thoth, that's the god of the underworld.
So
the Egyptian iconography, it was a bad idea to integrate into Freemasonry. So why will they do that? You know, why don't they have a dove, which is indicative of the Trinity of Father, or, you know, Father and Son and you know, the Holy Spirit. Why they don't have something like the cross of Jesus Christ? Why don't they have a symbol of the Bible? No, they have the Bible and they open it up, you know, but they don't practice what they preach. You know, so truly, I mean, it's a hypocritical organization with questionable operations and rituals nowadays, that you have to really think about it, you know, truly, to say, you know, is it worthy of my time, money, and effort to belong to such an organization that is not what it appears to be.
Let me ask something, because, and I know you, and I'm asking you this because you mentioned that, you know, not all the lodges are operating the same way. Do you ever see in the future where there might be an internal revolution among the Masons as to?
No.
No.
No. You have a pack of wolves don't eat themselves. You know, no. The system has decayed. People are more aware. You know, but I know the member now that opened up my eyes. His name is Rob. He's on his, you know, late 30s. And you look at him and he's the nicest guy you can possibly imagine. Hey, hi, how are you? How's it going? He ate at my house. I invited him here to eat at my house. I gave him gift and I thought he was a really true but fraternal brother. Little did I know, you know, he was the devil in personification, because you tend to surrender trust because he has the Masonic ring. You know, he belongs to the lodge and he's a worshipful master. You will never suspect that.
Okay.
But behold, you know, he's the devil in disguise. And like him, many others who are just like a pack of wolves, you know, to devour good people. And, you know, it's really funny. He makes it look like he's doing so much help to the community.
Right.
And it's all fake. I actually acquired between $10,000 to $50,000 donation into that lodge by someone that I know. I was bringing him this money. And he said, well, you're out of boundaries doing that. That's illegal. And I go, I went to seek a donation to help the lodge out. I'll tell you the lunacy of this. And at that moment, I was like, wait a minute, this guy is fighting me because I'm bringing a $10,000 donation to $60,000 and with another...
And why would he do that?
Envy, jealousy, hatred. Whatever is going on in there, let me tell you, it's not Christian, right? It's not Masonic.
Well,
now, there are some Masonic lodges out there that are good. I don't know of any. I'm sure that they are. Where there's also some good Freemasons out there that follow the traditions of Freemasonry, I'm sure that they are. I never met them. So, you know, I can generalize because at 56 years of age, I'm yet to encounter a Freemason that I can go, he is worthy of wearing that ring and being called a Mason. I was, you know. I have the credentials. I have the track record of everything that I've done. But, you know, now if I was to go in comparison to the Rosicrucian Order, I have yet to meet one single guy that is not worthy of being a fraternal brother of the Order of Rosicrucians.
So basically you're telling me that the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons are two totally separate,
yeah,
as far okay. as the members, in other words.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, different people. Their truthfulness in their practices, they're more metaphysical people, they're in tune, they know about the laws of karma and reincarnation. They know
okay.
that for every cause, there is an effect. They're responsible for their actions as much as their inactions. You know, they do not engage in the gossip and the evil worshiping practicing that you see here in Freemasonry. They're more humane. You know, they have more of a heart.
Okay.
You know, in Rosicrucianism, we say think with your heart. You know, and it's really beautiful. And you know, they also have rituals, so I'm not going to deny that. You know, mm-hmm. the Catholic Church, if you look at the Mass, it's a ritual.
Yes.
You know, I don't like it because I'm not too sympathetic with seeing, you know, somebody saying this, you know, and drinking, this is my blood, and, you know, this is my body, because that's a little bit weird, you know. And, you know, you can repent and, you know, give me a buck. And I go like, that's
right. And I know what you're saying. You know, and you're absolutely right. You know, all, whether you want to call it a religion or a membership, you know, everybody always has some type of, you know, ritual or ceremony, and I understand that. To be honest,
you know,
with you though, I'm personally, I would be more concerned with what are these people actually doing. You know, if you want to have, you know, a ritual that you kiss a rock, okay, but if when you're out among other human beings, you're helping, you're being positive, cares, kiss the rock away. I don't care what you do. My
to
thing
finalize,
is
to finalize the show, I'll say the following.
Okay.
The Bhagavad Gita by Paramahansa Yogananda
okay.
says the following, okay, in which he says that God said the following: by whichever path you come to me, by that path I will bless thee.
There you go.
And you know, that has to do with evolution. And that's what we have in Freemasonry, a whole bunch of Cro-Magnons you know.
Charlie, I get the feeling that you are just a little bit upset.
No.
Don't get me wrong. No, I'm just playing. I know. It sounds like you have very good reason to be really.
No, I have to expose the evilness. I'm not upset. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm happy that this happened because I am no longer part of a demonic organization that, you know, exposes itself on pretext of being fraternal and lovable and brotherhood, and it's anything but that. You know, I belong to so many other organizations, and none of them are as evil as the Freemasons nowadays. You know, and times have changed. You know, people that they just don't walk the talk. You know, they're just full of it.
I've heard of that happening. You know, that before you realize it, when you look at the leadership, you know, or the people that are steering the course of whatever it is that you belong to, it's like, how did we get here? You know, like what? Yeah. And it sounds like that's what's happening with
some of these people have children and wives and families, and they take away twice a week for hours away from their family members and their children. They should be doing something better. Okay, there's nothing to be gained by going into the lodges, into the Blue Lodges, twice a week or twice a month or whatever. You know, people that do that, they don't value their family circle. If I have to choose between my wife or my girlfriend or my mother, and in going into a Blue Lodge, what does it give you? Nothing. A quick free meal that you also have to pay for. Let's say it's a free meal, but you have to pay. You know. And then you have to pay a membership to get what? To hear the same thing. You know, first deacon, second deacon, to the first warden, to the third warden, worshipful master, to the secretary, to the treasurer. And you're going like, what is all of this about? You know, what are they doing? You know, it's what they don't tell you, what they're doing behind the scene. You know,
okay.
And their actions are evil with a smile. And they look at you and say, oh, hi, brotherly Charlie. How are you doing today? And I'm telling you, it's just way up there. But no, I am happy, and I want to thank you for granting me the opportunity on your show to expose this, because a lot of people will find that interesting.
Yes.
If they have any questions, you know, they can reach me
through
you.
And you know, like I said, I'm putting all the hyperlinks on the credits of the show to reach you, and also about your book, okay? Because I do think, you know, that there's a part of me that says, you know what? We should have the freedom to have memberships, and if you want to keep it secret within the members, I think we should be able to do that, okay? I think that's a freedom that this is something that, but at the same time, I guess being a human being, after a while, you start thinking, what's all the big secrets about? I don't know. It's like one thing competes with another. I can see why you should be able to do it if you want to, but at the same time, after a while, because what you described happens, where all of a sudden things evolve or they become something else, and it's not what it appeared to at the beginning. Now what you've really got going on behind the scenes is something maybe even the opposite.
Well, just ask yourself, in your lifetime, have you ever had a Mason help you out with anything?
No, but...
There you go. Neither have I, and I'm a Freemason.
Okay, well, I was about to say, but I'm not a Mason.
and I'm a Mason, neither have I. And that's the question that we need to put. Now, have you ever had a Christian come and help you?
Yes.
Yeah, and so have I. You know, and that's the bottom line. You know, who are they worshiping? Bing, 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 bing. Anyways, it's been nice seeing you, and I appreciate everything.
Sure.
And I will look forward in doing another program on the paranormal. We'll take it from there.
You got it. Thank you so much, Charlie. Have a great weekend, okay?
Great, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So what did you guys think? Talk about food for thought. Wow. Okay. You know what? And this is the thing. You know, you might think, and I've known Charlie for quite a few years, and as long as I've known him, you know, he has been proud to be a Mason. I'm not going to say he's one of these people that what you call fanatics, because he's not. He's very down to earth, but you know, he was always willing to be that, like he said, he, you know, you always saw him with his ring, and he was very knowledgeable when it comes to being a Mason. And to be honest with you, this is a couple of times before he had made mention of things that let me think, okay, there's trouble in paradise. And like I stated, you know, it would be naive to think that, you know, you were never going to have a run-in or just a personality clash with people that you, it happens. It happens in jobs. It happens in schools. You know, that's life. You know, you don't get along with everybody. But to be honest with you, even though first moment you might think, wow, this guy sounds like he's just really upset. He's like, it's just sour grapes. He's, you know, he's upset because he's had a misunderstanding with somebody from the lodge. You know what? I've known him long enough to know. I think there's more to it than that. I really do think there's more to it than just a personal dislike or a personal misunderstanding between him and the lodge, or even the lodge that oversees it. Because like I said, as long as I've known him, Charlie has always been a very proud Mason. And I really think that part of the way, or the reason why he's acting the way he has, is that I think if for him, it was difficult to come to terms with, like he said, something that I've believed in and that I've been a member of faithfully for so many years is not what I thought it was going to be. A lot, I think. And you also have to take into consideration that he did write a book. And you know what? Not Masons. All secret societies do not like to have their secrets exposed. Hello. But anyway, and so that's, you know, we have a lot of conspiracy theories floating around nowadays. Some of them are plausible and other ones are way, like, you know, way out there, way, way out there. But you know what? When you know somebody personally, okay, which I do know Charles personally, and I've known him for quite a few years, and we kid around a lot because, you know, we hear about certain theories and sometimes we laugh because they're truly outlandish. Or that we say, okay, you know what, that's possible, but boy, I'd really like to see some more concrete evidence pointing at least in that direction. But like I said, when you have somebody like, and I can tell you a few months ago when he went and he saw that Mason Lodge in Texas that had what he called satanic symbology in it, that was not what he was used to seeing, that had been around for, I remember he called me, he contacted me, and he goes, "You're not going to believe what I saw today." And I said, "What?" And he described it, and I could tell he was profoundly shocked by what he had seen. Not only shocked, but to see how long it had been there, and that apparently this was a lodge that was approved by the hierarchy of the Masons in that area. But I guess, you know, he just went on his way because at the end of the day, that's not where he lived. So I think that that's happening a lot even now with the United States and with the government and everything, that everybody's like got a lot of these blinders pulled off and everybody's like, huh? But you know what? Exactly like what Charlie said, that he's really happy that this happened because for him, it made him see things with different eyes and made him aware of things that he wasn't. I would say the same thing. You know, I watch the news on and off and I see what's going on. And, you know, first instinct is you weird out because it's like too many changes, too many things are untrustworthy of our government. Like, where's this all going? And, you know, when I say government, I'm not talking about Washington. I'm talking from your city to your state all the way up where there's, I think, a deep level of uncertainty or distrust going on. But you know what? As uncomfortable as that is, I would rather have the truth and do something about it than just to be complacent and blind and then never realize what's going on. So, yeah. Change is in the air, folks. I don't know if you've seen it on all levels. Change is in the air. And you know what? I think as human beings, we're very resistant to it. But change a lot of times brings in a lot of better things for us. Okay, and let's face it, even though supposedly we went into the 21st century, 17 years ago, that was just like, it was symbolic. Okay, it takes years for civilizations to move along, and sometimes the changes are very slow, and then you get things that are a little bit more cataclysmic. Okay. And I think I truthfully think that even though as humans, we've always been evolving and changing, even though at a much slower rate. I do see a lot of things shifting, and like I said before, I am the eternal optimist. I'm a humanist. I believe in humankind. I believe that in the end, we will triumph, and we're going to come out ahead despite all obstacles. And I think that's what it's all about, you know, that you make a stand, whatever your beliefs are, and that you decide, I'm going to represent and I'm going to go forward. And then you die, and then the next generation, you leave in place for the next generation. We don't live forever, okay? But that is what makes life interesting. Messy sometimes, but very, very interesting. So guys, I hope you really like the show. Please subscribe to my channel. Hit the like button. Okay, like I said before, I do live stream on Twitter via Periscope and on Facebook. And but if, you know, and every once in a while, I do air some shows on YouTube outside of a regular 7 p.m. Friday schedule. And if you're subscribed, you're going to immediately get that notification. And I am hoping, I've got, if you're all wondering why I hear this buzzing, Charlie's like, he's texting me on the line. It's like, all right, Charlie, give me a minute here. But anyway, folks, I hope you liked it. I love producing these shows for you. Like I said, you know, it's the differences that make us all interesting. And I hope you're going to come back every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to catch my shows on YouTube, where I try to talk about, you know, interview or actually do something that's way out there, part of the paranormal. And today is a Saturday for me. So I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. Be good and be safe. Take care. Thank you so much.